1 Samuel chapter 7. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And the men of Kiriath Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And so they consecrate Eleazar in order to qualify him to take care of the ark. In order to do this important job for God, Eleazar has to be holy and separated from the things of this world that might compromise his morals. And that's what this is about. 2. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. The people were sad because God seemed far away. Thing is, he didn't go anywhere. They did. God was just a prayer away if they would repent. He's a prayer away from you today. A prayer of repentance. A prayer of confession. He hasn't gone anywhere. 3. And Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. In other words, you talk about how much you respect God and how much you miss God. Well, if you do, then get serious about him. And if you want God's power and presence and fellowship in your life the way it can be, then get rid of all moral compromise. That's the message. 4. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord God only. They serve God only. That's the only thing that's acceptable to God. God will not accept any rivals to first place in his life. And if someone is serious about God, they're going to turn away from all known sins. And he doesn't have fellowship with anyone who isn't serious about it. 5. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. The people needed the prayers of their spiritual leader, Samuel. They had determined to walk in the will of God, but they needed prayer to strengthen them to do it. Good intentions are great, but they should be backed up with prayer. 6. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. The water they poured was symbolic of repentance. They did not eat, and they did not justify any of their sins. They fasted, and they confessed. They emptied themselves of self before God. 7. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. The Israelites were afraid of the Philistines. And Deuteronomy 1:17 says, do not be afraid of any man. The only one you need to fear is God. You fear God, he'll take care of you, so you don't have to even think about fear in any person. The Israelites, it's been a long time since they lived like that. They've got to learn that once again. 8. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. The Israelites did not want a nice little simple prayer from Samuel. They wanted him to do a spiritual filibuster before God on their behalf. They wanted Samuel to plead with God for them. You know, sometimes two Our Fathers and two Hail Marys just don't cut it. Sometimes we have to labor in prayer. 9. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. A burnt offering symbolized the total dedication of the offerer to God. The people had prayed for a closer walk with God. Remember? And as they prayed, what happened? The Philistines attacked, and Israel had no choice but to draw closer to God. When we pray for a closer walk with God, we should not be surprised if we experience trouble, because that sometimes propels a Christian into that closer walk. 10. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to the battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. God knows how to answer our prayers. He knows what will work. He released thunderclaps that were so loud that they threw the Philistines into a panic. They were too shook to fight, and so Israel easily defeated them. 11. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth-kar. Israel pursued the Philistines from point A to point B. You could have followed their trail because it was laced with dead Philistines along the way. 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Here, hitherto, has the Lord helped us." The stone was a memorial to God's goodness. There's a lot of that in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. It's good to keep track of the things which God has done for us. Because if we don't, then we are likely to soon forget just how much God cares. And then that can lead to sin. 13. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Samuel was a godly man who led the people well, and God gave him success. Walking with God doesn't mean there won't be any bad, but it does mean that there will be some spiritual fruit in the midst of the bad. There will be success in the midst of things that are not good. That's what happens when you walk with the Lord. Verse 14. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath and the coast, the borders, did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Israel took back what the enemy had stolen. God has not promised any sort of material restoration for repentance today, but he has promised us immediate and full spiritual restoration the moment we repent and confess. And then we can trust God to take care of our needs as we continue to put him first. 15. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. Samuel did all that his mother dedicated him to God to do. 16. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. Samuel went to where the people were. He settled their disputes and answered their questions. He was a servant of God, and so he was a giver. People who walk with the Lord live to give, not to receive. 17. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Samuel always found a way to get home regularly. You know, God recognizes that home is a good thing. Home should be a refuge. It should be a place of support, a place to go and regroup. Chapter 8. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Samuel's sons were probably the best educated young men in Israel, since their father was a holy man and a Bible teacher. But God's gifts and callings are not automatically transferred from one generation to another. A person must be called. Verse 2. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Samuel, it appears, sets up his sons in their own ministries in the town of Beersheba. And that's when the trouble began. Some young people who have been well trained by their parents turn into rebels when they get on their own. And chances are they were rebels on the inside before they even got on their own. But that gives them an opportunity to display it. 3. And his sons walk not in his ways, but turn aside after lucre or money, and took bribes and perverted judgment. A parent can give truth, but they cannot give holiness to their children. They can give their children an example to follow, but they cannot give them a love for God. And that's why a parent who loves God should not feel guilty over a child who rebels. Samuel's sons did not walk in his ways. I'm sure they were taught. But you can't transfer a dedication to the Lord. It's every person for themselves. 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah. The elders of Israel recognize the problem. So they talked to Samuel about it. They talked to him because he's not only their dad, but as the head prophet, he is their boss. Spiritual confrontation is never easy, but the honor of God, as well as the well-being of Israel, is at stake. 5. And said unto him, Behold, you are old, and your sons walk not in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Poor Samuel. Really, it wasn't his fault that his sons were bad. It's not like Eli, who never corrected them. He didn't condone their sin like Eli condoned the sins of his son. But now the people want to replace Samuel before he dies, and his sons inherit his position. They know that's not going to be good. We'll pick it up in verse 6 next time.